And how many of you are here this morning? Seriously, I thought like, you know, we should just play the tape again for you. See, I'm not joking. I don't know if I'm the only one. I was really ready to jump and to run the bases because it was really, it's something I've been working on it. I couldn't come out like, praise God, preacher, because I've been working on worship. And that was one of the things I've been watching. And I was like, praise God, I couldn't come up with that. And I got so pumped up. I got so fired up. I was like, maybe we should just go home and take the morning diet for both services. How's that? So that was really good. And praise the Lord for that. And if you are behind or you don't get it, I don't want to say that something's wrong with you like they do, but on a serious note, I would advise you, encourage you really to pray about that, what worship is all about. Because it all starts with God and ends with God. And Revelation chapter 5 is just one of these. It's about that triune God, and you can't miss it. If you put your mind on it, It's such a blessing to look into that, to look into heaven in that window that God opened, peel off the curtain for us to take a look what's going on there, and get a blessing on really how we should do it when we come together to worship God. So if you didn't get the blessing, I would advise you maybe download it, listen it again, and I pray and I hope that you can get a blessing. I did get a lot of blessing out of this morning. Not to pat pastor on the back, but I really praise God for that, because it's something that I've been working on it hard, trying to grasp, and it was like just answer to my prayer this morning. Okay, so let's pray and get started. Father, we thank you that we can come again tonight, Lord. Not because we are the best, Lord, but so we can pat ourselves in the back, but Lord, it's about you. And I pray that you get me out of the way and, Lord, speak to each one of us, Lord, myself included, this afternoon. Lord, let this be just, Lord, a sweet a follow-up of what we learned this morning about worship. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to your people, you speak to myself. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife told me last time I was asking too many questions. I was like, well, I try to keep people awake. Maybe I got to blame pastor for that. So since she's not here, maybe I can get away asking you questions. Okay, how many of you remember or know what is the focus of our church? What is the main thing that we're trying to get our church to be? Three things. Let me give you a clue. Three things. How many of you remember those three things? Wow, people are paying attention. Praying and appetite for the Word of God and caring for one another. Okay, so we're going to, if you miss Sunday school, well, unfortunately, there's no recording. So Brother Cheng has been pounding lately on Thanksgiving. And I wrote on my note way before he started, most of the time we think about Thanksgiving come what? November, right? No, it's not only November. I know at least it's a good tradition in America, which many countries don't have, but Thanksgiving, it's a holy year, 365 days thing. It's not only about Christmas. Unfortunately, there's no recording for that. So if you miss it, maybe you can ask Brother Cheng. He can give you maybe PowerPoint or something. So when you look at all this that is going on now, you can see that the Lord is trying really to bring us to understand what the focus of our service should be on. So it's about Thanksgiving. It's one of what? The five what? Part of what? Prayer. And this morning, I don't want to say my favorite, but worship. So it's been really hard on my heart. And worship is one of them. And anybody can venture to tell me again what is the other three? We have Brother Cheng with thanksgiving, Pastor this morning with worship, confession, adoration, supplication. There's one missing. No, intercession. So let's open our Bible. John's up. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And we're going to read verse 31 and verse 32. Gospel of Luke chapter 22. And we're going to read two verses there. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So if we look at this portion of the scripture, and we know that the Lord has been preparing his disciple about his departure. And during that, Peter was one of the most courageous guy. And like Americans say, he loved to put his footwear in his mouth. And Peter was a very sincere guy, if you can follow what Peter has been doing. And when the Lord was telling those disciples, the disciple, that he's going to depart and he's going to die, and Peter didn't take that well. And Peter was the most courageous guy who even took the Lord aside. He blamed the Lord. He said, God forbid that what you're talking about would occur. Because he said, hey, we followed you. We abandoned all our stuff. And now you're telling us that you're going to die, and what's going to happen to us? So did you make the wrong choice? And Peter was the one who was so sincere, and he promised the Lord, it was like, my life for you. Everybody can abandon you, but not me, Peter. And I think Peter was sincere because he was serious about his commitment to Jesus. But we get to the point here where Jesus is warning Peter. He said, Peter, the devil or Satan has desire or has request permission from God. Don't forget that there's nothing that can go, nothing can happen to you that does not go through the hands of God. So Peter was a son of God. Peter was a disciple. But the devil has been asking God permission to have Peter. And if you go back to the Old Testament, you're going to see what's happened to Job. The devil came also. God gave him permission. He said, you have Job, and pretty much deal with him with my permission. So the same thing here, Peter, he's the one who stated that he was not going to leave Jesus no matter what. Anybody else can go. He said, but I'm going to stick to the end, even to lose my life. I'm ready to go. But the Lord is giving Peter warning here, said that the devil has asked permission, and he wants to have you on his crosshair. And, you know, sometimes the example pastor like to give most of the time, you know, you got a flat tire, what time in the morning? 2 a.m. We're Forest Preserve area. And then you get home, if you get no cell phone or the battery died, you see how encouraging that can be. And it's a rainy day or snowy day, no cell phone or no battery on your cell phone, Forest Preserve area, 2 a.m., flat tire, no spare tire, anything that you can imagine going wrong. And guess what? You get home, then what? The furnace is not working. And you can go like, whoa, what's wrong? What, you know, why all this is happening to me? It's like one punch after the other. You try to get up, and like the expression of most brothers, shooting the wounded, you go like, you know, is anybody noticing that I'm hurting? And you're looking for sympathy, and guess what? You got a bully, a brother or sister bully, giving you some Christian love, and when you're looking for some sympathy, that's what Peter's going here.
Peter, he has no idea what the Lord is talking about. And he does not know how much the devil he's going to do with him. But the Lord said one thing to Peter. He said, Peter, the devil or Satan has desire to sift you. Most of you don't know what sifting. I grew up, we didn't have electricity, and we got to beat up corn. Or maybe Christina knows, but most of you are so modern people, you don't know what I'm talking about. So we used to have what? I can't remember what they call it. It's a little thing in a wood where you put corn, and you got to beat the corn to get what? The peel off, so you can make good use of the corn. And it's a lot of work. And it takes a lot of muscle. Most of the time, it's the lady who do it. And the process for you every day before you eat, if you don't go through that process, pretty much there's no meat or there's no dinner. So you got to put the corn there and take like a piece of wood and start beating those corn so you can make use of it to make your evening meal or your dinner. So that's the expression that Jesus is telling Peter here, that the devil is going to sift you. He's going to press and he's going to crush you, Peter. And God has given him permission to do that. And we're going to see what's going to happen when Peter, the one who said that he's not going to abandon Jesus, but he is being warned by Jesus here that the devil has your number and he's going to come after you. When I was reading this, and you get to a situation where you go like, yes, I know the Bible, I know all this truth, but what good does it do to me in my situation? Because what I'm going through, it's so painful. I remember years ago before my wife came, and I look at her and I said, I came in this country legally. And I get a legal status as a permanent resident, and I'm paying taxes, and I'm going to school doing things the right way. And I look at left and right, people are bringing their wife for, you know, different ways, and my father, they told me it's going to take 4 to 5 years. I was like, no way. And I was like, how can I handle this? There was some day where I felt like the pressure on my heart. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to wake up the next morning where I can't even sleep. It's like I'm feeling like something like physical. I go like, Lord, I can't take this anymore. Because I tried everything that I can. I contact politician, pastor helped me to contact the senator. We wrote a letter. I said, I'm trying to speed up the process to get my wife here. But I was like, it's so heavy. It's so crushing on me. I'm going like, Lord, I can't take it. It's like I can't breathe. But the Lord was able to sustain me and to give me the grace. If you ask me, it's not because I'm special. No. Because I was failing. I was like, Lord, I'm done. I want to maybe go home, forget about everything, because I just can't take it. But the Lord gave me the grace one day at a time. And Peter here, when the devil set his sight on Peter, the one who promised Jesus that I'm not going to forsake you, everybody can forsake you, but I'm going to follow you to the end. You know what Peter, we know where Peter ended up? Peter ended up a big time failure. Because he was relying on himself. He said, I'm going to do it. But going through this, I look at the second verse, verse 32. Brother Cheng was telling about those who, grammar, what did you call them? People who, grammar nuts or whatever, punctuation this morning in you. Grammar nuts. Is, so Amy, you are appointed as one of them. But when I look at verse 30, they said, but Jesus warned Peter. He said, Peter, the devil is going to have you. But, what does but mean? Kids, what does it mean? Although or what? Pretty much negating what comes before. So, Peter, the situation is going to be bad. But, remember what I said. He said, but, Jesus made a promise to Peter. He said, but, I did what? I have prayed for thee. Let me read it again. He said what? But I have prayed for thee. So by Jesus telling Peter that the devil has his number, that was a pretty, pretty critical situation for Peter. He said, you're going to go through some tough time. You're going to go through some sifting, some beating, some pressing down, which is going to really hurt. It's going to be bad. He said, but in spite of all that, I just wonder, I said, why the Lord didn't stop? Or why he didn't choose the option of Peter not going through that? We're going to see that later. But for now, he said, Peter, you're going to go through some tough time. It's going to hurt. But remember one thing. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Wow. So if we play soccer, I don't know how many of you play soccer. I'm the best player soccer. I wanted somebody maybe to joke about, you know, soccer mom. Anyway. So if we're going to play basketball and Michael Jordan is here and we got to have two teams, how many of you would like to be in my team? Because I suck in basketball. I don't play basketball because I suck, okay, in basketball. But everybody's going to line up with who? Michael Jordan, because you know for sure that he's the greatest player. And no matter what, even if you don't know how to play, but you're just going to wear the jersey and be on his team. You are guaranteed, guess what? You're guaranteed what? You're going to win the game. Why? Because you know he's the best player. And here, Peter is warned that the devil's going to have him. But Jesus said, Peter, it's going to hurt. It's going to be bad. It's going to take some time. But remember one thing. I have prayed for you. I want you to look at it. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Why I'm taking comfort in knowing that he prayed for us. Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to read verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25, the Bible says this, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So, Hebrews chapter 7 is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus made a promise to Peter, said that the devil is going to sift you. The devil is going to crush you. But remember one thing, I have prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. So Peter does not have any credit to take here. Because if we see later on, we're going to see later on that Peter, who should be called a failure, he was mightily used by God, but not relying on the greatest thing that he has accomplished. No. He never accomplished a big thing. Because if he got to line up his accomplishment, it was pretty terrible. Because here's the guy who swore that he will never leave Jesus, but he was pretty much swearing to save his neck. When it was just a few verses down on that chapter we're reading, you go to verse 61, Peter pretty much ignored completely what he promised Jesus. But the promise Jesus gave Peter here, we see in Hebrew, that he ever lived to do what? To intercede. To pray on behalf of who? Of his people. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Keep talking about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God, for who? For who? Yeah, like this morning when Pastor was talking, he said, hey, John was looking at that. The situation was so bleak, was hopeless. And John was even sharing tears because it was like there was nobody. Nobody who could open the book. But Hebrew tells us that Jesus is the one doing what? Interceding in the what? In the presence of who? Of God. Like we saw this morning about worship, that the situation was pretty much lost, hopeless. John was in tears because it's like no one in heaven or in earth was found able to take the book. And that same Jesus is the one. Hebrew tells us that he's there in the presence of God doing what? Interceding. Praying on behalf of who? Of us, you and me, who belongs to him. So no matter how dire the situation is, yes, it's going to be painful. We can't pretend that it's not hurting. No. It's going to hurt. But the grace that he's giving us, because he's there at the right hand of God, doing what? Interceding. Day in. Chapter 7, he said he does it how often? Ever. No limitation. He said he's doing that one forever. So day and night, 24/7. That's what we saw this morning in the pastor preaching on that worship. Because they do it what? They've been worshiping God what? 24/7. Because he's worthy of receiving what? All the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. But at the same time, before warning Peter that you're going to face trial, you're going to face danger, he said, he's there at the right hand of the Father. Folks, I can't even picture that this church should be here today. I don't know about you. Going through all the situation that the church was going through. Well, we thank God that Pastor didn't quit. We thank God for each one of you here. But each one of us, if you were sincere, there was some day where you were ready pretty much to hang it and be gone. Everybody pretty much went through that, where you go like, is it worth it? No. We didn't make it this far because we are brave. No. We made it this far because he is interceding for us on behalf of his own Father. It's not because we are the greatest. It's not because we are the mighty. It's not because we are the faithful one. No. The Bible says that tough time was coming for Peter. But Jesus said, Peter, you're going to go through it. But guess, remember what? He didn't say, I pray for you. Look at the tense. He said what? I have prayed for you. So before even, Peter didn't make a prayer request. Peter didn't ask, Lord, since I'm going through tough time, can you please pray, keep me on a prayer list? No. He said, Peter, you're going to go through tough time. But remember, I have prayed for you. So, it was not a request from Peter. And Hebrew tells us that he's standing there before God and interceding and praying on behalf of you and me. So, no matter how the situation is, yes, I can fail. Yes, Peter did fail, but he didn't stay there. And it was not because he has a will power. No. Because Peter didn't have a willpower. He did have a willpower. Yeah, he was very energetic guy. Yes, he was somebody who was outspoken. Yeah, but that was not enough for Peter to stay in the ministry. That was not what kept Peter in the ministry. What kept Peter in the ministry was the intercession of the Lord Jesus standing there on the presence of God and begging God on behalf of Peter. And the Bible says he's doing the same for you and me. So if we are here today, it's not because of us. It's because of him. Because he did pray before even we bring our request to him. That's what happened to Peter. And later on, we're going to see that same Peter. We're going to see what God has done through him. Because in verse 61, let's go back to our text on chapter 22. Verse 61, and Peter pretty much cast and did all the stuff that he could have done. And verse 61, and the Lord but to get better context, let's go to verse 60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crow, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. So, just the look. Peter was like swearing. He said, I can't. You can count on me, Lord. I got your back. I'm the man's man. I'm the most trusted one among all of us. You can count on me, Lord. But a few verses later, Peter was the one pretty much swearing. Can you imagine a preacher standing in this pulpit and you see him out there cursing, swearing? That's exactly what Peter was doing. And the Bible tells us that when Peter's done, the Lord just turned and looked at Peter. I just wonder. I remember when I was a little kid, for some reason I loved walking shirtless. And I got beat up so much time by my dad because, I don't know, it was just the way I was growing up with my friend. We'll go play shoeless and shirtless. And my dad would spank me on that, but when he goes to work, it was just a fashion. Sometimes I would do some good deeds, and helping somebody, older person, carrying their suitcase to the bus station. And I remember one time, as was my way of doing things, shirtless, helping some friend, neighbor friend, and carrying the backpack to the bus station. And I saw far away, I saw my dad. I almost prayed, I said, "Lord, open the earth and let me go down." My dad being who he was, he never done anything in public. But I can tell by the look. The look says that we got some unfinished business when you get home. So without him asking questions, I started, you know, pretty much saying the good deed that I was doing, trying to appease what's going to come after. I said, you know, I'm taking our next door neighbor, I'm carrying the case for him to the bus station, so please, can you consider my good deed? But he didn't say anything, but it was just the look. I know when I get home, the look was already in a message saying that we have some unfinished business. And Peter, here, after Peter blew it, I wonder, the look on Jesus' face to Peter, what that look conveyed to Peter. Because in my case, talking about my dad, I was considering two options. Run away because I didn't want to face the consequence at home. But I was like, well, that's just a delay or multiplying the offense. So I better just go home and face the music and move on with life. Then instead of living in anxiety for days or for hours, but when Jesus looked at Peter, I bet Peter saw the love of Jesus. That's what drove Peter back. Because remember, Peter and Judah, pretty much they did the same thing. Both of them betrayed Jesus. But why did Peter come back? Why Peter came back and Judah never came back? Because Peter blew it big time like Judah. But the look that Jesus gave Peter was not the scariest one. Was not like, well, we got unfinished business. Was not like, well, you such a failure. But I think Peter could see in Jesus' look the love of God for him that drove him back to that Savior. Because otherwise, Peter would end up pretty much like a failure. That he was. But he, on the other side, was pretty much trusted with the Lamb and the sheep of God. You look at chapter 21 of John, you're going to see there, Jesus pretty much handing Peter the task or the privilege of feeding what? His lamb and his sheep with the word of God. So that same Peter that the devil sifted through, and when the devil was done pretty much with Peter, God made good use of Peter. That same Peter could not be used by God without going through the process, the sifting process, where all the chaff, all the dirt, all pretty much imperfection, anything that was not giving God glory, through the sifting that he has to go through by the hand of the devil, God was pretty much putting Peter in a position where he could use him without Peter taking credit for anything that God has accomplished. So that was a painful situation for Peter, but at the end, God took all the glory for that. So when we go through tough time, when we go through sifting, it's not a useful or it's not a happy or an easy situation, but God knows what he's doing. I'm the first one, I'm not going to tell you that I love suffering. No. It's painful. Nobody likes, well, at least one thing that I like most, I like shots than pills. Pills in my mouth, you can kill me to get one through my mouth. But if you want to give me a shot, we are friends. So that's how maybe the only way my wife gets me to take a pill is pointing to the kids. So you don't want to take anything, you want to spread it to your kids. Is that what you're looking for? So that's the only thing. But since I was a little kid, I used to fight nurse. Anybody try to bring anything through my mouth, if you want to give me a shot, we'll be friends. But pills through my mouth, it's a no. But with kids now, I just got to take it. So what I'm saying here that, you know, pain, it's pain. We can change it. But we can go through that by the grace of God. And at the end, he is the one who takes credit. It's not because of how we are made, but we can take comfort knowing no matter what comes our way, because the sifting process, it's not a one time. Like I said at the beginning, giving the example Pastor like to give, it's not a one time. Sometimes you find like, oh, I'm finding my footing now, or I'm catching my breath, and guess what? You can get knocked down again. You go like, oh, I thought that I was true. No. It's him doing the sifting. Because you can think that we are through the wood. But if it's not done through the sifting process, because if you don't do it well, guess what? I don't know if you guys know about it, but from where we came from, when we do the rice, beating the rice, sometimes you can have what? If you don't sift it well, you're going to have little stone in the rice. And you know how pleasant it is to have one when you're chewing rice or any nice food that you're having, and all of a sudden in your teeth, what? A little stone. That kills the appetite, no matter how nice or how delicious the food. So that's why the sifting process got to be what? Very carefully done. Because you don't want to serve people either rice or corn or whatever is made out of that process, something that is imperfect. So it's got to be perfect. Because when people taste it, they enjoy it. So when God does done through the process of sifting, he let the devil loose, if I can use that expression, on you. Because he has an objective. He has a goal. He has something that he wants to reach. And when that process, you look at the life of Peter, after that, you see a different Peter. Because he went through the sifting process. It was not his choosing. This was not Peter's choosing. But God decided to put Peter through safety. So no matter what we go through, no matter what you're going through, there are days that you feel like you're going to quit. But remember that He is at the right hand of God, receiving all the glory that He deserves. But at the same time, He's interceding and He's praying on behalf of you and me. And if we made it this far, it's not because we are special. It's because He stands there day and night and looking at the throne of God and calling your name, calling my name, calling the name of this ministry, of this church, so we can make it this far. So remember, in discouragement, in trial, in trouble, remember, even before you made your request for prayer, He said He's there praying on our behalf. And the Bible even tells us that He's our high priest and He can be touched with our infirmities. So He is such a high priest that we have. He knows what we can go through, and He's there standing at the right hand of God day and night and praying before even we can make our request unto Him. And at the end, we know it's because of Him. It's because of Him that we are still here. It's because of Him that we can have some victory. It's because of Him that we can look the future with hope, knowing that He is the one standing day and night. When even we forget what the preaching was last week, when even we forgot to pray about the request that we made a promise to pray about, but He is standing there day and night and interceding on our behalf. Preacher.